On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, a special second episode, a two-episode week here for the Who's On Podcast. Had some good interviews this week. If you missed it earlier in the week, talked to Jakari White, one of the newest guards for the UVA men's basketball team. And now I've got a couple of new transfers for the UVA football team coming up. Virginia has picked up 11 players in this spring transfer portal. And coming up, I've got former Georgia State defensive back Jamarc Morris and Cincinnati cornerback Jordan Robinson joining the show. Talk about their decisions to join UVA. Also, the secondary that has gotten quite packed with a couple of new additions. We talk all about that. But real quick, just touching on this transfer portal for UVA football, because going into it, I thought, maybe eight guys. Maybe six to eight guys. They needed to add some depth on the offensive line, needed to add a lot in the secondary, probably a running back. But they have kind of blown that out of the waters. Again, picked up 11 guys in the spring transfer portal. They're up to 30 players overall in this between the winter and the spring transfer portals. 30 new players coming into the program that are just transfers. That doesn't include, the freshman class that's also coming in, some of those guys, mid-year early enrollees. That is the 30 players is the third most among schools without a coaching change. I've talked about that kind of figure a couple times here on the podcast, but it still kind of blows my mind because you don't see this kind of just roster rebuild without a coaching change usually. And so now we're kind of seeing it a little bit more in college sports and in football and basketball, especially because you can, like, if you are going into a crucial fourth season, like Tony Elliott and staff are, you can do this. You can kind of revamp this and be like, all right, we've got to win this year. We have to win this year. So you can go out and find some guys, bring them in. And that's what Tony Elliott and the staff has done. They've brought in a lot of really impressive players. They're ranked 23rd nationally by 247 Sports. I've talked about it a lot on this. I don't put much value, if any at all, into transfer portal team rankings or transfer portal rankings at all, because I think they're even less reliable than the high school recruiting rankings that we've seen over the years. And because at the end of the day, you just don't know. When a player gets into a new situation, maybe it's the perfect situation and they explode, or maybe it wasn't. Like, we can't all judge. We don't always, take the right job for us. Maybe we take a job and we kind of flounder for a little bit. Maybe we take a job and we kind of, leap to the next level in our careers. It's the same thing with these schools. So I put very little value in transfer portal rankings, team rankings or player rankings. You do a little bit with high school just because you can't evaluate the thousands of kids out there in the high school ranks. And that's kind of why you rely a little bit more on that to see. But that's kind of what these coaches and all the analytics and analysts and everything that, these high powered major, college football teams, college basketball teams have now, is they have all these people to kind of go through the data, go through these players' tapes and rank them. So that was a quick tangent. Virginia ranked right now 23rd nationally by 247 Sports in the transfer portal rankings. And they are still trying to add to this class, believe it or not. Yeah, they're trying to add another defensive back. Virginia has already signed five defensive backs in this class and has kind of completely redone the secondary back there, and it's not at all kind of what we saw coming out of The spring, in the spring, we saw a lot of guys kind of shoehorned into positions. Saw some walk-ons getting a lot of playing time in that spring game and throughout spring practice. But, now you got five new defensive backs, a lot of them corners, boundary corners, some guys that have versatility, like a Christian Charles from Tennessee or DeMarcus Crosby from New Mexico State, Jordan Robinson. Jamarc Morris, both guys I have on later, they played some different positions. And also just everyone in the secondary is just massive now. And Emmanuel Carnley, another big one there. So it's a really interesting class of defensive backs that they brought in. And this has been a position that they've been chasing for years. So that's another reason I really wanted to talk to, some of these guys coming into the secondary, because, what is Virginia trying to build in the secondary? Because we haven't really gotten to see it because they've missed on a lot of targets in the secondary. And, now they're finally kind of getting some guys to come in, play some positions for them. So it's going to be interesting to see. I will say, coming up next week on the podcast, I'm going to have Greg Medea, our good friend, constantly on the podcast from the Daily Progress, coming on here. And we're going to build out this two deep for football. I think that's going to be really interesting and telling. We kind of were talking about it recently at a baseball game, and we're kind of thinking through it. And it's tough to do right now. There's some positions are easier. The positions that are challenging are the secondary and the offensive line, where they've added a lot of new names. So, looking forward to that next week. Basketball, I know a lot of people want to start putting that together. I'm not going to touch basketball until I know that roster is at least somewhat done. Because I know, Ryan Odom and staff, they're still trying to add another name or two here in the portal. So I'm gonna wait on basketball, but wanted to, kind of dive into football next week. So we're gonna do that. I'll also talk a little bit of ACC baseball. That's early in the week next week, but for right now, we're gonna focus on some of the new transfers. And I also want to talk real quick just about setting expectations for next year, because this has been a popular topic over on the Saber message board lately. Can this team get to a bowl game? What's the ceiling for this team? How far can they go? And granted, a lot of people are skeptical about, what Virginia football can do after we've seen for 3 years now. Virginia football has been, at the bottom tier of the ACC. And last year was a good start, 4-1. And then you trail off towards the end of the season, you finish 5-7. You don't get to that bowl game. And I keep saying on here that, I thought last year was the year that they should have gotten 6 wins, gotten to a bowl game, started to build some of that momentum, like you saw with the Bronco Mendenhall era. They got to that bowl game, and then it just kind of kept going up from there. The next year you got to the Belk Bowl, and the next year, you got to the Orange Bowl, and then kind of COVID toppled things down. But so this year, I think you got to have a Belk Bowl type of year. You got to get to, I kind of set the bar at 7-5. My prediction is probably closer to 8-4, which is interesting because, you saw the Vegas win total projection, start to trickle out. Circa Sports from Vegas has 6 wins as the bar for Virginia. I would be pretty comfortable taking the over at this point, and I'm not totally convinced that this is the easiest schedule in the world, because so much can change from offseason to offseason. And take classic case is Florida State, all the changes that they've made this offseason. I don't think they're going to be the 2-win team that we saw last year from Florida State. I also don't think they're going to be the undefeated in the regular season team we saw the year before that. So maybe something in the middle there, I think, is a pretty safe bet. But it's going to be interesting to kind of see where that roster is for them and so many other teams that are on Virginia's schedule next year. North Carolina, I mean, who knows what to expect out of the Tar Heels at this point. But 6 wins from Circa Sports, that's the win total projection at this point. Virginia Tech just ahead of that at 6.5. I know that a lot of people, covering Virginia Tech, are a little iffy about that 6.5. So I feel good about taking the over on the 6 wins for Virginia. I think this team is well built, and that's what you're kind of seeing from a lot of people right now. Some people kind of looking over. There was the ESPN, I think David Hale from ESPN predicted, well, maybe, this Virginia team could, surprise a few people and be that dark horse like last year with a Syracuse or a Duke or something like that. To get to an ACC championship game like SMU, I don't quite see that, as some people have pondered. But you know, I feel pretty comfortable that I think the you know as comfortable as I can be in this in May, you know, months out from the season starting, you know, possible injuries, possible, you know, just anything that can happen in the coming months before the season actually kicks off on, you know, I think it's August 30th against Coastal Carolina. So it's a long way out now, but yeah, the expectations I think are pretty muted from a lot of Virginia fans, but I would be mildly optimistic, I think is a good way to put it, about this Virginia team going into the year. They've made a ton of changes. You know, a lot to see still. You know, is Chandler Morris, you know, ready to be one of those, you know, top tier quarterbacks in the ACC? Are the skill position players ready to make plays consistently? Is Terrell Harris going to stay healthy? Is Xavier Brown going to stay healthy? Is this offensive line ready to make the leap like so many think it can this year? Is probably one of the deepest offensive lines and maybe one of the most talented offensive lines Virginia's had in a number of years now. And defensively, can we see a little bit of more of what John Rudzinski had in that first year? You know, now, you know, fully outfitted with layers and layers of pass rushers, depth at linebacker, and a secondary that's going to be battling and fighting for starts. It's going to be interesting to see. Can they kind of meet those expectations that are start like slowly starting to form? But 6 wins is a good start. It gets you to a bowl game, but I think the bar has got to be at 7-5 this year. So I'm really interested to see what happens and interested to see how the rest of this offseason plays out. But let's get into our first interview now. You know, I've got, like I said before, I've got a couple guys that are coming into this program this year, and some really, really good interviews here with Jamarik Morris transferring from Georgia State. And then later on, Jordan Robinson from Cincinnati. So let's get into those coming up right after the break. All right, welcome back into the Who's On podcast. We are talking to a couple of UVA football transfer commits here today as we kind of dive into this transfer portal class. And today I got for the most recent UVA commit, at least at the timing of this podcast. You know, you never know. It's Monday, May 12th right now, but you never know. He's a 6'3" defensive back from Georgia State, making his fifth stop. It's Jamarik Thomas. More. Let me start that over again, man. All right, 3, 2, 1. All right, welcome back into the Who's On podcast. We are talking to a few of the newest UVA football transfer commits, and I've got the most recent of those, at least at time of recording here on May 12th, 6'3" defensive back from Georgia State, making his fifth stop. It is Jamarik Morris. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on here, and it's a wild time of year. I know everyone's kind of head is spinning with the portal right now. You got kids from all over. The spring portal is a little bit busier than I think a lot of people expected. UVA, 11 players coming in this class, including 5 defensive backs, including yourself. But first, let's kind of get into your story. I know you started off at the JUCO level and have kind of worked your way up. You had stops at UCF and most recently Georgia State, now coming to Virginia. Man, what has this been like? 5 stops. I mean, it's been a long journey for you.
I'll say for me, I'll say the JUCO process, it taught me a lot. I went to Georgia military first. Then, COVID had happened, so I kind of was home a little bit and then ended up playing my first year in 2021. And then I had went to Hutchinson 2022. That was kind of like, I'll say that was like one of my best like college years ever. Then got UCF, didn't play as much, played 4 games, and then the spring came, and then I, the coaching staff had got fired, so I decided to hit the portal and test my luck. Went to Georgia State. The first 2, 3 games, I was playing special teams, and then later on in the season, I kind of proved myself and started the last 10 games, and now I'm here. I'm committed to UVA, so.
It's got to be a whirlwind for you, just kind of all those different stops, and now, you know, going through this process. Walk me through this one, though. So what was the first contact with UVA like? I know that you also had a lot of interest from Mississippi State, but who was the first person to reach out to you from UVA?
The first person to reach out to me was the director of recruiting, and then the defensive coordinator, and then the cornerbacks assistant coach, Coach Brown. Like they followed me a week before I had went to Mississippi State, but it was nothing. I didn't kind of really think nothing of it because the portal is crazy, so you don't really know who's going to contact you or not. And then once I had went to Mississippi State, I was coming back home, and they was like, let's go ahead and get it rolling. Like, you could come here for a 36-hour official visit. And then we made it happen. Got on the plane, me and my mom, and went on a visit. It was a day visit. Met everybody. Everybody treated me like family. And then I got on the plane the next morning. Told my mom, like, yeah, I think like this is the place for me, and ended up committing.
So, from what I'm understanding, you get a couple follows from some coaches, and then don't really hear anything, and all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, jump up here, let come for a visit." How quick of a turnaround was that?
I'll say the turnaround was really quick because I'll say like the previous week, I really was on like a recruiting like trail. I went to Temple. Like, I was there from Monday, Tuesday. Then after I went to Temple, Texas State, then I went to North Texas, then Mississippi State. So half of the time, like, I wasn't at home, so I was just hopping on plane to plane. And then when I had got a day at home and they contact me, was like, let's get it rolling. I'm like, man, like, everything is just happening like so fast.
So you get on grounds. What's that experience like, kind of walking around, seeing things for the first time?
It was a very great experience. I never knew like Charlottesville was really that pretty. I never been to Virginia, so first time being in Virginia, being in Charlottesville. Like, the first thing I asked, I'm like, do they have like chicken places? Because that's a lot of places that we have in Atlanta. So I'm like, do they have a lot of chicken places? And Coach Elliott was like, yeah, we call this the Chicken Boulevard. They had like a KFC, and I'm like, okay, I think I could fit right in. They got a lot of chicken places.
You got to do better than the KFC, man. They got way better places than in Charlottesville. But yeah, there is a mile stretch there. You call Chicken Row, Chicken Boulevard, whatever they want to call it, where it's like fried chicken restaurant after fried chicken restaurant. So you'll be right at home there. What's your mom think of it? Just getting her perspective on it. You always talk about what you think about it, but bringing your mom along for that, what was
My
that
mom,
like?
she thought really highly of UVA, because it was her first visit. The rest of the visits that I was going on, I was by myself, so I was filling her in. And then I think that what kind of really sealed the deal, because she went on a visit, but she really thought like very highly of the place. She loved Coach Elliott. She loved Coach Cox, Coach Brown, the whole staff, like just in general. Like, we got up there, they treated us like family.
Now you got a familial connection here with Tony Elliott and his coaching staff. Tony Elliott played with your dad, Kelvin, at Clemson.
Yes, sir.
And then I think he also coached your uncle too. So like, how much did you know about Tony Elliott before you ever kind of talked to him for the first time?
I really knew Coach Elliott when I was kind of like a little kid. So, him being from South Carolina, that was an instant like bonus for them. I told him that like once we had sat down in the office that the next morning and discuss everything. I was like, that was a big bonus. I never played for a coach that's like from my area, and a coach that treated me like family. So I was like, yeah, I wouldn't want to turn this opportunity down, because it can help me get to the next level where I want to be, and it can also like help me in the long run.
Yeah, I guess did you I mean how much had you heard about him, just kind of his background and everything before then? And then yeah, I mean, I gotta guess those South Carolina roots, that's good. I hear the South Carolina accent coming through right now. It's definitely there.
I'll say really, when my uncle, he was describing Coach Elliott, he was just saying like Coach Elliott is a guy. He's going to treat you like his own. Like, he's going to love you hard. He's going to get on you, and he's going to expect like high expectations for you, not only because you're from South Carolina, but because he knows that the family tree that you came from and how much work you'll be able to put in. And that's what he had told me in the office. He was like, you come here, I'm going to set high expectations for you. I'm going to love you hard, and I'm going to treat you like family.
I see, behind you got this nice wall of, plaques and everything. And I see your dad's name up there. What has he meant in your football journey?
Oh man, I can say it was him and my uncle. My dad playing at Clemson, it kind of like pushed me to that. I know I have to, I wouldn't say necessarily make it, but I have a lot of shoes to fill. And not only my uncle, he was in the NFL. So being, taking bit and bit of pieces from their game and trying to implement it into my game, I kind of say that I took both of what they can give me. I kind of soak everything in like a sponge, and it helped me get to this point.
What was your uncle's name?
Philip Morris.
Philip Morris. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Looking at, kind of more focusing in, what was the sell for UVA? Like, what kind of like sealed the deal for you? I know you talked about the mom, you talked about the connection with Tony Elliott. Was there anything playing wise or just kind of off the field? Anything that kind of, all right, that was it.
The thing that really sealed it for UVA, that's why I say it was, they treated me like family. That was the number one thing that I was looking for in the portal. And Coach Cox, he was just telling me like, you come here, you will be able to play, you'll be able to help the defense. And also they kind of played the same defense that we played at Georgia State. Like we played a lot of man, and they want me to, come in and compete for a starting job and play boundary corner. So I wouldn't like turn down that opportunity. And, playing the ACC at a big stage, coming from a group of five, which and I did that, UCF playing in the Big 12, but playing in the ACC was kind of, a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, look at you mentioned kind of the play style and everything. Y'all are bringing in five defensive backs in this class this spring. You said they want you to play boundary corner. I know you've got some experience playing different spots. Why do they like you kind of at that position?
I'll say because I'm kind of a longer guy, even though they recruited other, guys a little bit taller and the same size as me, I have long speed, physical, and I could be able to come down and, make tackles. And I'll say that I'm kind of a well-rounded player. I can play different positions in the back end.
I was going to say, I mentioned five defensive backs coming in just to the spring portal alone. Every single one of y'all is 6'2" or taller. I mean, what is that like looking at that secondary and seeing that amount of length?
It's going to get scary for opposing defense, opposing offenses, I tell you
I mean, what does that kind of help you as a defensive back? I've heard some other people in the past talk about it, but how does that help your game, playing the corner position?
that. I'll say with me and playing with other guys that's, that's just as the same height as me, the same weight as me, it'll help me grow. And especially, I can take something out of their game and they'll be able to take some out of my game. And then, me being able to play different positions in the back end, somebody go down at a different position, then, I'll be able to step up or somebody else will be able to step up. And, we won't have to get anyone else and try to, force them to play that position.
Is it kind of bring a little bit of a competitive fire out of you seeing like, all right, all these other guys, we're kind of built physically the same. We're kind of, we're all coming in here trying to win these spots. Does it bring that kind of fire out of you to, you want to be on the field?
Most definitely. Everyone that comes in always wants to be that guy, but you can't really just say it all on social media that you want to be the guy that's going to take, extra reps, extra film. Getting into the playbook is kind of like homework, so it's going to take more of off the field aspect than more of being on the field. So, as long as, you get into the playbook and you getting the extra reps, you meeting with the coaches, then, it'll be fine. Especially like me coming in and being an older guy with 1 year left. I have to come in and, be a pro.
When you're talking to Coach Elliott or Coach Rudzinski or Coach Cox, what's the vision for this defense, especially the secondary, with all these new additions coming in? Kind of what do they envision?
We want to come in. We want to be the best defense in the ACC for sure. We want to come in and we want to win more games than we did last year. We all, the expectations. We're not coming in just to be a 5-6 win team. I tell you that. We coming in with high expectations. Coach Elliott and Coach Cox, everyone in the building is doing a wonderful job of fulfilling all our needs. So we're coming in to win an ACC championship.
I've heard that a lot, from a lot of different players. You've got 30 new players in this program, which is a ton of new, kind of faces in the program. A lot of them came here for the spring ball, and now a bunch of y'all more will come for the fall and the summer workouts and stuff like that. I guess all of y'all coming in at the same time, is there like just a collective vision of like, yeah, we're here to pursue kind of more than this program has been the last couple of years?
I'll say most definitely, but it's going to take time. 30 new people trying to come in and get on the same page as everybody else from the Winton portal. So it's going to take time, especially in workouts and conditioning. We all gotta gel. That's why I say it's going to take time, and especially in fall camp. About time fall camp get here, we'll be able to know each other's strengths and weaknesses. So gelling is going to be the number one thing for us.
What did the coaches kind of like about your game from what they've seen in the past?
They once we hit like when I got there, we watched kind of like a lot of film on me. They showed me like what they like about me, my long speed. Coming like as a corner, a lot of corners, they're kind of like different, especially like in man zone or whatever. But me, I can do all, and they like that I can come down and tackle. I'm a physical corner, and I can track the ball. I had a couple interceptions at Georgia State, and that's what kind of attracted them to me.
As a corner, I gotta ask, do you like coming up and making those plays? Because a lot of corners, they're like, leave that to the linebackers, leave that defensive linemen or the safeties. Do you like coming up and making plays like that?
I'll say me, yes. I want to show the NFL scouts, NFL GMs that I'll be able to, not just be a corner that can play man a lot and zone, but I can also come down and tackle. Like that's kind of like the main thing that I want to improve on my game is tackle. Like the zone and man, it'll come along, but coming down and making a tackle on a big back, that excites the crowd.
Virginia in the past couple of years, they've been really trying to figure out this cornerback position, and they've had some different types, but we talk about the length that you guys have. Do you think you could play a little bit more physically press, and is that something that coaches have kind of talked about?
Most definitely. That's the number one thing that they brung all the different players in. Physicality is going to be the number one thing for us. They want to show teams like, okay, this is why this team does this. This is why a lot of teams don't want to play this, against this type of defense. So that's what we're coming in, and we're going to try to show the UVA fans and the rest of the ACC.
It's been early for you. Have any other players or anyone else reached out to you, just kind of welcoming you to the team? Have you gotten to know anyone else yet on the team in your visit?
Since I had joined, like since I committed, I can really say everybody, but like when I committed, I probably like at least like 70, 60 players on the team welcomed me with open arms. Chandler Morris, the quarterback, he was kind of like one of the first people to reach out to me. Trail Harris, we got each other's number, and we text, and he was like, if you need anything, just let me know. Some of the safeties, a lot of those guys had reached out to me, just welcomed me with open arms.
What's that like? You talk about the family atmosphere that the coaches have kind of built there at Virginia. What's that like just kind of having that, pouring out of support as soon as you kind of make that announcement?
I'll say for me, it was kind of like a shock. Now I say I've been to, five other programs, especially, coming from Georgia State, like it was a little bit similar, but like once I committed, then I just seen like a lot of UVA fan pages, a lot of UVA fans, and all the players like following me and just welcoming me with open arms. Like it was shocking. Like, man, like the players and the fans, they really love the players on the team, and all the coaches, everyone congratulated me and just like, come in, be ready to work, and let's work for an ACC championship.
Did they show you anyone, I guess, that you could kind of compare your game to, and then some film, or like, this is the kind of position that we have in mind for you, or is it kind of a little bit different?
I'll say it was a little bit different, but one of the guys that they showed me, and I talked to him personally once I got there, was Jam. Jam is a longer corner as well, but he would probably be out for the season. So there was like, you can come in, like you can y'all have the same similar skill set. So me and him talked, and he's kind of just like he's the same guy as me, long rangy, has long speed. So they kind of compared me to him a little bit.
I guess, we talked about the expectations, what this program wants to do. What are you most excited for first? Is it just getting there for summer workouts, or kind of what is like the first thing on your head when you finally kind of get there?
I'll say really getting there and meeting everybody and, go ahead and jumping into the workouts. That'll be the first thing that I'll be, ready to get going. And really, and the second thing, kind of getting, getting around Charlottesville, getting to know the fans and getting to know the Charlottesville area.
All right, Jamark, I appreciate you jumping in here on the Who's On podcast. Good luck, man. It's going to be a wild ride, but look forward to seeing you here in the fall.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
All right, coming up next here on the Who's On podcast, we've got another transfer commitment. We got Jordan Robinson coming here on the Who's On podcast coming up after the break.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome back into the Who's On podcast. My next guest, we had the most recent transfer in for UVA on the last segment. Now we have the first UVA commit from this spring. That is Jordan Robinson coming via Cincinnati, Kentucky, 6'4 cornerback. Jordan, thanks for joining the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
I gotta ask, it's been kind of a journey for you. You started out at Division II Livingston College. Did you ever kind of think you would end up, going to this is now your third Power Four school?
Yes, I did. When I originally went to Livingstone, I had a plan just to be in there, get out, play ball, and get out 1 year. So it came to fruition. So yeah, I always had that plan.
Where was the, I guess, the miss in your recruitment coming out of high school? Because, a 6'4 cornerback, that kind of, people kind of eyes light up when they see that.
The miss was high school. I played receiver, and my 11th grade year I got injured, so I couldn't play that year. Then senior year was our COVID year, so my family, we talked to my family, we had made the switch to corner, and I ended up playing four games. Like every game was getting canceled because of COVID, so we played four games at cornerback. So that was my first year playing, and had success at it, played good, and then ended up getting a scholarship to the JUCOs, and then I chose the Division II route with the plan I already had. So that's how what happened for real.
What was that initial position change like after you come back from the injury? Now you're playing a whole new position. At 6'4", like it's a little bit of a learning curve, I gotta imagine.
Yeah, I always played both sides of the ball in my whole life, defense. I played safety growing up, safety and receiver. So like tackling and all that stuff, it wasn't nothing new, but just learning, like having to retrain my muscles. Like I didn't want to sit in a squat for too long, like stuff like that. Bat was tight, yeah. So that was just really what it was, like just retraining my muscles and then really learning like how to like get my eyes locked in on pressure. We play a lot of press man there. So just learning that part really what it was. Everything else came natural.
I remember in practice in high school seeing the DBs, have to do that, crouch position you're talking about and just kind of go the length of the football field and keep walking the football field. So I can't imagine that you like that when you ever had to do that. But let's get into this now. You entered the transfer portal again, coming out of Cincinnati. What were you hoping for? What were you expecting when you jumped in the portal this time?
I was just trying to get a spot that I wasn't leaving Cincinnati because of the playing time or anything like that. It was just more so of a spot that I'd be able to show like my versatility. Like I didn't want to play, just go and play man every play. And I knew like this is my last year, so I gotta go show the NFL like what Jordan Robinson really can do. So like and when I was looking to the process, like Virginia had a similar scheme to what I ran at Kentucky. So I know they run a lot of variety of coverages, confuse the quarterbacks, and like there's a lot of opportunity to make plays there. So that was really what I was looking for. And Virginia fitted that. So yeah.
Who was the first person, I guess, you talked to at Virginia?
I talked to Coach Cox, one of the first people I talked to.
So a lot of people, I feel like the more they get to know Coach Cox, the more he kind of leaves an impression on them. What was that first conversation with him, and kind of how's that relationship developed before, you haven't gotten to grounds yet, but how has that kind of relationship developed in the last month?
My first impression on Risha too before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my first impression, I was just like, when he was, I was like, oh yeah, he's a great teacher. So when I first met him, like, he was already breaking it down. Like we on the phone, we on the Zoom call. He was already breaking down my film, showing what he can teach on, like just ways to improve my game. So like that really lit up to me. Like I'm like, okay, like he really a student of the game. He know how to teach the game. Like a lot of people don't know how to teach the game. Like he's a real great teacher. So and then on my visit, like he was breaking down film to me, and it was just sticking to like a way I ain't never seen him before. So I'm like, he can teach me this much and this much of time. So how like imagine what I'm gonna be able to do this year. So that was really what it was. And then like I still he check in. I mean we talk a lot, and our relationship been growing. We getting pretty close. So looking forward to keep on building that with him. And
Did you get to visit?
said, did I get to visit?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, I visited.
What was that like? And kind of walk me through, what'd you get to see? Who'd you get to meet on that visit?
I met Coach Elliott, Coach Cox, Coach Rudd. I got to sit down and talk to him, pick his brain, the strength staff, academics, and just it was. I got to meet some of the players. Like we were pretty cool. Took a tour around the campus. I ended up loving it, and it was just a great atmosphere to be in. It was just felt like home when I first went to there. So.
I get what stood out to you about kind of the pitch from Virginia, because they've made a little bit of a wave in college football in this transfer portal, like the first transfer portal cycle, and now this one. They brought in 30 new players. You're one of those 30. It's a lot of new guys coming into this program right now.
The pitch, I'll just say like I'm just looking on paper like what they're building, like they was breaking it down, like they was talking about winning. So I'm looking at it, who coming in, I'm looking at it, like what he like the potential they have from last year. I'm going back doing my research, watching games, like it's really games, like it's not a lack of talent, but it's just like see, like I know I can see that they can take the next step, like and then I'm just watching how like they're bringing in more recruits and stuff like that. So I really see a big opportunity to be able to win a championship. Especially the
Earlier in this podcast, I had another South Carolina kid come on, and Jamarc Morris, who I think is from the he's I can't remember the exact town he's from, but he's also from South Carolina. Tony Elliott is from South Carolina. Did you have any kind of like South Carolina bond with Tony Elliott when you met him?
I did. He told me when I first met him, like we take care of our South Carolina guys, so we had that connection off the rip. And yeah, he know what it is like to be from South Carolina. And how he worked there, how he got overlooked. So he really understands that. So it was a great connection.
It seems like there is a deep bond between South Carolina guys. I lived down there for a little bit, not from there, but it does seem like there is, a little bit of bond. You got a little bit of the accent.
Hey, I'm sure I do. I don't hear it myself, but people say it a lot.
Looking at, I mentioned they brought in 30 new players, five defensive backs just this spring. And there's one common trait between all of y'all. I don't know if you've noticed, but you're at the top at 6'4", and everyone else is above 6'2" or bigger. It's a long defensive back room. Did that kind of come through when they're kind of pitching you that like they love the length and they wanted to get their secondary to be longer?
Yeah, definitely. They were just saying like how that length be able to make a lot of plays in the defense, and with the talent to go along with the length, like pitching, like how much plays you can make, and it's really good. Not to you look up, you look on the field, you see a bunch of giants. So it's just good to have all around you.
What kind of a difference does it make just as a guy that has that experience? I know you transitioned to this position from wide receiver where you normally see a lot of bigger guys like your size, but what does it do when you're facing someone that is also a big guy on the other side?
It make it pretty easy, like especially when they like when they like my size, like I move pretty quick to be my size. So a lot of the time, like the taller guy not as quick as me, so it really easy to like mirror them, stay in front of them. And the smaller guys, like I can move doing what too. So when I'm able, like when they releasing and stuff like that, my body presence really like squeezing them out to the sideline without even having to get the hands on at first. So they really come in handy with that. And it's hard for the quarterback to see over you when they're trying to throw the ball. So you can make a lot of plays in the windows. So yeah.
Did they talk to you guys at all about, all right, we're bringing you in, we want you, but we're also bringing in, four other defensive backs that, everyone will play different spots. There's a lot of positions to go around in that secondary, but did they talk about that kind of competitive nature?
Yeah, they did. They said they told me they was gonna bring in. They were still trying to fill up the depth chart, the roster
Yeah.
chart, everything.
Yeah, I know they want to add at least another one. Yeah, so it's a lot of different guys, different positions. Where do they see you kind of fitting into the scheme more on the boundary?
Yeah, more of the boundary. Then they could also see me trying to like third down, going to some nickel. Yeah, so.
You're a bigger guy. Do you like getting physical? I know some corners shy away from it, but do you like it?
I like getting physical. You're gonna
Yeah.
see season.
I guess what have you seen from the Virginia defense and the scheme? Like, what really impressed you about watching it?
Really highlight the different looks they give pre and post. Now, like, it really confuses the quarterback. Like one play, they in cover two, they drop down to cover three, or like they'll go quarter half. I really confuse the quarterback. So I like that. So that's a lot of play. That's a lot of opportunity to make plays.
Before you get to grounds later this summer, what are some things that you kind of want to work on with yourself before you get there and show up and you're kind of thrust into competition?
Right now, I just slimmed down to 205, so I got that under control. But right now, I'm just still working on like tuning up press technique. Like, I gotta go be one of the best press man corner in the nation. And it really like my route recognition. So I've been studying a lot of film, like trying to make sure I see the game at a different level. So those are the biggest two things right now that I've been really working on.
Who's the best receiver you've had the pleasure of, going up against in your career?
Definitely Ladd McConkey. Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Yeah.
What made him so challenging? Because I know a lot of people kind of underrate his athleticism, but you kind of got to see that with the Chargers this year, and he's a really good route runner too. What kind of made him so challenging?
He like a master at like disguising his tempo. You would think he wasn't running fast. And he didn't change his tempo, and you'd be able to snap back down and down. Like, so yeah, he really deceptive.
Focusing back on Virginia, when you look at the roster, you've seen all the guys they've brought in. What's the feel? What's the vibe that you get from this coaching staff as far as, it's been since 2019 since they played in a bowl game. Just what level do they want to be at? What level does this program want to be?
I think this program want to be elite. I can see it by the way they're recruiting, the way they're talking, and like they really share like the same mindset as me. So like when I see it, I know what it is when I see it. So yeah.
Does this coaching staff, how would you describe kind of them when they're in the recruiting?
I think they're I describe them as honest, really just transparent, like really down to earth, genuine people.
And I guess like the last thing I'd ask you is, you got a couple months now until, the season opener against Coastal Carolina. What are you most looking forward to and showing UVA fans when you get on the field this fall?
I'm always looking forward to being able to show my full talent. Like, so I'm like, I put it like this. Like, it's gonna be a pleasure surprise. I promise you that. For
I feel that. Yeah. Jordan, thank you so much for joining the Who's On podcast. I appreciate the time and look forward to see you on falls this in the fall this summer coming up.
look forward to seeing you too.
All
I
right.
for you too.
What was that?
What you looking forward to seeing most this year? Out of the
I'm looking forward to seeing all these new pieces in place, man. It is crazy. It's been crazy covering it all, seeing it kind of a new face in the portal coming in every day, but also just seeing this coaching staff and kind of the way they're talking about this program right now. It's going to be good. And I'm a sucker for length in the secondary, watching like the Legion of Boom and all that. Like, so I'm excited to see how this works out and how you work out, man. A 6'4" corner, that's something special right there. But again, man, thank you for coming on and we'll see how it all works out.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me.
All right, that is it for the Who's On podcast for this week. We will see you later next week with more. Again, follow us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe as well. Leave a 5-star review if you have the time. Always great catching up with some of the new faces on the football and basketball team this past week. We look forward to having a couple more guests on in the future. But for now, we'll see you later here on the Hoots On Podcast.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.